Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I'm your host, Phil Gonzalez, and this week it's a special interview episode. That's right, back on the show is Mr. Mike Berenstain himself. We're going to be discussing the state of the Bears in 2025, where things are going, what his work output is like, any interesting projects he has going on, and what you can expect from him and the Bears in the future. So won't you join me for this wonderful conversation I had with this wonderful man that I hope to have again soon. Not, I don't hope to have the same conversation again soon. I hope to have a conversation again with him. I can't remember where I was in the sentence. Enjoy the conversation. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Phil. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Okay.
One of the big reasons that I really wanted to have you on, besides the fact that it's been a while and my listeners want to know what's going on in the world of the Berenstain Bears, is because there was conversation happening in the collectors group about the number of books being published this year. And people were starting to get very concerned, as only adult Berenstain Bears collectors can be, that the series might be coming to an end.
Coming to an end?
Yes.
But how many books are being published this year?
I don't know. Not enough, I guess.
Wow. How many? Wow. I mean, I went through a period several years ago where we were publishing, I don't know, like many as 8 a year?
Yeah.
That was crazy. How many are we doing this year? Like 6?
I mean, it's something like that. Yeah.
Publishing a lot of books. It's hard to do that many books.
Okay. But I have to.
Somebody once said to me as a joke about, there's so many Berenstain Bear books, and the person said, how many Berenstain Bear books do you need? And there's hundreds of them.
Yes.
And that's a good question. How many Bear books do we need?
We are talking about a group devoted entirely to collecting Berenstain Bears books.
Well, but we have all these board books about to come out.
Oh, yes?
Well, yeah, I would think the collectors would know about that because they've been announced. You can see them. You can pre-order them on Amazon and things. In fact, it's really a whole new sub-series. It's not a secret. Years ago, you may remember, and certainly people like Jeremy and Brad will certainly know about this, that we did try to do a series of board books, I think in the 90s or around 2000, called Berenstain Baby Bears.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah. With Random House. And I worked on those with my mom and dad, and they didn't sell. They were I think they had some attractive features, but they were kind of an odd concept.
Yeah.
There were these generic bears. They weren't really the Berenstain Bear family.
Right.
They were these kind of other bears who were somehow, I don't know. I worked on some designs, like cover designs, but the concept was really on something that I came up with. That was really my dad and Random House.
Yeah.
And I think it was influenced by the success of, or the relative success of the Muppet Babies.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't Muppet Babies, but it was like Sesame Street characters or Muppet Babies or something like
right.
that. Right. And so people say, well, why, you know, and Random House was publishing those. And they said, well, we can do that with everything. So we'll have Berenstain Baby Bears. Well, anyway, they bombed. They were a weird kind of, I thought, poorly thought out. They were cute in some ways, but they also just didn't make sense. And Random House, as when I started doing the spiritual line, which also, by the way, is not going to be continuing. The Gifts of the Spirit.
Oh.
That's another real commercial bomb.
Yeah, I remember you talking about that.
Artistically, I think they're a success. But they're just, it's too much of a niche kind of thing. What are they? They're spiritual books.
Mm-hmm.
How many people are just spiritual these days? It's a kind of a niche market. Anyway, but I like them. You like them.
I like them a lot.
That's probably a bad sign for the, you and I both like them.
I also like the Berenstain Baby Bears books. I actually converted.
Well, but the good news on that is that because of, doing things with Random House, they got interested in reviving older things that they either had rights to or had lost rights to and wanted to reacquire. Like the Bears Christmas, the old beginner book that was long out of print. It was one of the first beginner books.
Yeah.
60s. And it was long out of print. Their rights had expired to it. And they reacquired the rights, and we've done a whole new version, which I think I wrote to Grace about, that it's using full-color artwork that my parents did for another purpose. And it's really quite, I've just looked at the proofs, it's really quite spectacular.
Fantastic.
So it's authentic to the original book, but it's a completely new, even better version of it. It's like the new improved, so it's pretty cool. That'll be coming out soon, well, relatively soon. But anyway, they got interested in this, like going back and reviewing the Random House, you know, library and the Random House canon of Berenstain Bear books. And we started looking at those old baby bear books, and we revived them. It started out as like we're just going to redo them, but now it's basically, we're calling it Baby Berenstain Bears, reversing it. And they're on the same kind of subjects, but they're totally new books about, you know.
Oh, okay.
A potty training, getting a new, going from a crib to a bed, same kind of subject matter, but completely new books. And I think much, much simpler. And it's about the actual characters. It's about Honey Bear and her little cousins, little younger cousins, who were introduced in the Gifts of the Spirit book.
Yeah.
Eddie, and there's Buddy, and little characters who were new, for toddler characters. So they're toddler board books using the actual Berenstain family world and about their interaction and their challenges. And I think they're very cute and I like them, and they'll be all coming out soon.
That's fantastic. When Random House looked at the old baby bear books and decided to talk to you about getting that back up, what's the impetus for that? Like, where did they see that as far as its place in the market? Like, why is it going to be different now than it was back then?
Well, because as we've talked about, the whole business of board books has been a challenge over the years, but there have been, I've had, you know, major struggles with that. But it has resulted over the years in a lot more successful Berenstain Bears board books being done.
Yeah.
So the market for that has been much proven and kind of explored and shown that it works. So I think that they're looking at the fact that there have been successful, many, many successful board books being done since the failure of those ones back in the 90s or whatever it was. And it's in the last 20 years. And so they figured it was worth a shot.
And I like the fact that you're consciously tying it into the current new characters and continuity. Yeah. And
the whole business of creating different subworlds of beardom, I no longer have a lot of interest. I mean, obviously, depending on what the book, what the function of the book is, they're going to vary a lot. But I don't really, I'm not interested in introducing, you know, characters that are not part of the normal Berenstain family extended environment.
No, but it's fascinating because it's, to me, it's proof that the story, the characters, the family isn't stagnant. It's not stuck in. Well,
and as you know, I've you know, as the need arises or as it seems appropriate, I continue to introduce new characters like this toddler, little baby cousins who are useful because if you're going to do a book for toddlers, it makes sense to have the characters.
About toddlers, right? So when you talk to your publishers, when you talk to people outside of your immediate vicinity, people who are looking at the Berenstain Bears as a business, at the Berenstain Bears as a thing to sell to consumers, where do you, as far as your interpretation of it goes, where do you see the bears in like the greater picture? What state are they in now as far as culturally and just from a literary perspective, from an object in stores perspective? Like, how do you pitch the bears now?
I really don't. I guess that's a good question. I used to pitch things a lot going back in my career, going back even before the bears. Pitching is a big thing, trying to sell people on doing something. That was a big thing. I don't really do that anymore. I think the revival of older things with Random House, that was kind of a thing that I pitched to them because, you know, I'm not giving you a good answer here. I think the answer is now I'm withdrawing from that process. As the current line of books I'm doing with HarperCollins actually was almost the reverse of pitching something. What I did is I simply decided I was going to suggest to them a lot of books that I personally wanted to do because I thought they'd be fun or interesting, and they could take them or leave them. And they took them.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's really pitching something.
That's right.
Just, this is what I want to do. Do you want to do it? Now, some they came back to me with some things saying they would like me to do. And in some cases, I thought that was they were good. But in other cases, I didn't like what they wanted to do. So we negotiated. And actually, there's a book that I'm very pleased with, which is just finished. It's just being proofed now, called Brandon St. Bear's Reach for the Stars.
Okay.
Which they presented to me as going to be encouraging your children to be all they can be, or, you know, be all that you want to be. And you can be anything. You can reach for the stars. You can be a brain surgeon. You can be, you know, the galactic governor, or you could, whatever you want to be, because you are special and we are your parents and we encourage you to be an achiever. And I just thought that was a really boring subject. That was going to be, it's just so corny. And I just don't really have a lot of sympathy with that whole culture anymore of just, you know, getting into the right nursery school so you can get into the right kindergarten, into the right school, you go to the right college so you can get in the right master's program so that you could become a whatever, you know. I'm not interested in that anymore, or never really was. And also the book, I realized the book would just be a lot of people talking and lecturing, saying one character says this, the other character says that, the other character thinks about what the other character is saying. And it just was really a tedious idea. But I didn't want to just say no.
Right.
So I have collegial relationships with these people. So what I did, I had years ago, and in fact, maybe it was even in the mix of things I had submitted, a book where the kids it's Professor Actual Factual or somebody teaches them about astronomy and cosmology, the universe, the actual universe. So I thought, well, Reach for the Stars, that could be a good title for a book on that subject, where they literally reach for the stars.
Yeah.
So I suggested we change it to that, and they thought, that's a really good idea. They like And so I did it, and I think it's a pretty cute book.
I'm looking forward to that one.
It's a book about astronomy.
Yeah. Not involving them stealing a rocket from NASA, though.
Well, no. though it's practically the same. is Teacher Jane. Remember Teacher Jane?
I love Teacher Jane.
I have her in this book. I don't know if she's ever had this role before, but she's like the world's greatest science teacher in this book. And who knew? But she is.
Great.
So the brother and sister go to her with questions about astronomy, which I think you'll appreciate this. It grows out of them watching a Space Grizzlies movie.
Wonderful.
So they love this science fiction, science fantasy Space Grizzlies movie. But this references into actual astronomy terms like quasars and things like, and they don't know what that is. So they go to Teacher Jane and they ask her to explain to them. And so she says, well, that's really a complicated question. And so she says, you're going to have to use your imaginations. And they concentrate and they imagine. And basically, they just imagine they're getting into a kind of Buck Rogers spaceship with her.
Ah.
And they travel at faster than the speed of light. And I explain that that's not possible.
Right.
This is just fantasy. And so she takes them on this imaginary Buck Rogers, Flash Gordon tour of the known, of all known space out into the edges of the known universe. And they visit quasars and everything in between.
Wonderful, wonderful.
It's an imaginary, it's a magical mystery tour of the cosmos.
That's great, because I really enjoyed the science fair.
Oh, good.
Book, because
I really like doing that.
I really enjoyed that.
I watched some of that you. Oh. And I have a comment. I think you'll be amused. You were very mystified by the little verses at the beginning, the little rhymes, the lake depth of Lake Erie, and both.
Oh, yes.
and I have to confess, that was just a personal private joke.
Oh, wonderful.
For me and anybody else who are Gilbert and Sullivan fans, what we call Savoyards.
I can't believe no one's called me out on that. I guess I don't have the right people in the audience.
It's a joke referring to the Major General song, which is
okay.
From Pirates of Penzance, which is a collection of intentionally awkward convenience rhymes. And there's a rhyme in it about binomial theorem. I am teeming with a lot of news, with many cheerful facts about the square of the hypotenuse.
Yeah.
So the cheerful facts of relative. I wanted to get the thing about cheerful facts.
Now it makes sense.
It's just a personal, private joke.
I should have known. I'm
great
not,
self-indulgent.
I'm not Gilbert and Sullivan ignorant. I've been in the Mikado. I should have put two and two together.
Well, it was the line about it's intended to give verisimilitudinous detail to otherwise bold and unconvincing narrative. That's from the Mikado. So that's what that was.
That's awesome. That's incredible. Well, what I was going to say is I loved that book because I loved the focus of science isn't just, you don't just do science because you're trying to get a grade or you're trying to win a prize or even because you want to build something or make something. Like it's totally legitimate to be furdy factual and simply want to improve your understanding of the world. Like, and he's just like, you know what? I'm not trying to win this anymore. I really want to understand more about the theory of relativity. And in the end, they're like, that's perfectly legitimate. That's a legitimate thing for a person to do is simply improve their understanding of things. And I was just impressed. I don't see that often in children's literature. Just like,
it may be a first. I don't know.
It might be. I like to call out the first when I see them. And I do.
I've always been, my first interest as a kid was science. Before I was interested in any art of any kind, I was a science nerd kid. And so I've always been interested in science and read a lot about it. And I've read some biographies of interesting people, physicists and others, and I realized that that really was their attitude.
Yeah,
they just wanted to know this stuff. You know, people like Schrodinger, and you know, they weren't really trying to achieve anything practical. They just wanted to do it, and they were just trying to explore it mentally. And so I figured, well, why can't Ferdy Fractual express that?
Right. Plus, he lives in a museum, I guess. So, like, he can get hands-on stuff whenever he needs it.
And also, I wanted an excuse to do a lot of jokes about relativity theory.
It got me reading. Ended up having to reread a lot of Einstein's original writings just so I could make sure I wasn't talking out of the other side of my mouth on it because that's, you know, I dive too deeply into some of these subjects when I do my episodes.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
Hey, it keeps the old mind working.
I'm glad.
So I guess going back to my original question, I don't know if you ever even do this because you've been doing this now for so long. I don't even know if you need to reflect on this kind of thing. But have you seen a more of an interest in the Berenstain Bears in recent years, like in general from just readers or people? Like, is it something that seems to have made a comeback?
Well, over the long arc of time, I think it waxes and wanes. Mm-hmm. There was a period, it was quite a while ago now. I'd say there was a period where there was a real downturn. And, you know, the thing that reflects it most is how many things people are buying.
Yeah.
Books or other things. How much interest there is in doing TV shows or media. And there was a period where there was a real downturn, I'd say in the early 2000s, mm-hmm. where I was like, okay, this entity, this brand or whatever you want to call it, has kind of seen its arc and now it's on a downturn. But then that turned around, really starting with the PBS show, which is now way back, 25 years, and the move to HarperCollins. And all the new kind of books we did then. And it's been a kind of a steady upgrade since, which has its ups and downs. But so, yeah, there was a kind of, I think the bear arc in terms of commercial success and popularity was an initial gradual increase. And then in the 80s, it went through the roof with the first time books and the TV shows. Just was exploded at that point. And then there was a gradual decline. And then until around the PBS show around 2005. And then there's been kind of a steady, gradual increase in popularity and interest. I think generational overlap now has perpetuated. It's embedded in the culture now because so many people know it from so many different manifestations over the last, over 60 years now.
Right. Is it something that you actively try to increase interest in?
I used to, but I don't anymore.
Yeah. Are you just sort of happy with where it is and you'll just keep?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like doing the books. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do 8, 9, 10 a year. Because that really, it was very getting challenging. I think the quality went down too. Mm. I mean, I was doing it because publishers wanted to do it, and I thought it was a good opportunity to do these books. But I just don't think it was. I don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah,
doing I have 6 books a year is plenty.
Yeah,
yeah. And a lot of other things are being done. A lot of products are coming out.
There are a lot of products coming out. How much of a hand do you have in that?
Oh, I'm very involved. I review and approve or disapprove. Often I disapprove of things.
Oh, yeah.
And they have to say, no, this is no good. Go back and do it again.
Yeah.
Usually it's not so much visual things as the content, the conceptual content.
Mm.
Very often people want to emphasize the kind of familial and gender stereotypes that were present in the 60s when the characters first developed. And I don't think that's appropriate anymore. And it's certainly not how the characters are being presented now.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll find I have to tell people to stop doing that.
Like along what line?
Well, you know, sister likes dolls and just brother is macho and is into sports. And
right.
That kind of typical garbage. You
know? Yeah. No, that's great. And I think it's helpful for people to know that you do have, you know, that you do care about the presentation of these characters, that it's not this sort of mercenary, I will allow anyone with a dollar to throw my characters on to whatever they want, because I know there's plenty of, you know, IP out there that is the case for. And
fortunately, there's this what's being done with licensing now is really kind of small, almost boutique licensing. They're companies that, and people producing clothing and products, that they're not really doing it on a huge kind of Toys R Us level. It's
right.
It's more specialty products, and so it's not a huge commercial undertaking. So I think it can be done with more care.
Yeah. And I know that your parents were very hands-on with that as well.
Yeah, and of course, they were dealing at a time when it was very commercially exploding, say, in the 80s and 90s. Mm-hmm. And it was rather difficult to manage all that because there was so much being done. Yeah. It's more of a kind of a craft world. Yeah. But there's a lot of it.
There is a lot of it. And I think people appreciate it being out there, you know, beyond the circles that I see. I think that I work at a bookstore one day a week, and the subject will come up because I run the children's section, and we'll get asked about Berenstain Bears books, or they'll come in and they always sell. People always want them. They are, regardless of the era, they're always a hot ticket. So
that's great to know.
Yeah, there's people out there. So when I first met you, I was like 8 years ago, I think.
Yeah, you've been doing this for a long time.
This is my 10th year.
What are you going to do when you get to the, you know, the end of the backlist?
Well, you know, Alana asked me that just the other day, yesterday.
I'm not suggesting you need to continue it. You know, you've done your time.
No, she was like, "What happens when?" She's like, "You're catching up. You're in. I think I'm in 2023 now, as That's far cool. as like the book." And I have a few I have to go back that I skipped that I, for one reason or another, I haven't gotten to. But she's like, "What are you going to do? Like, how are you going to address this?" So I'm like, "Well, there's a few books I'd like to go back and revisit, because in the beginning I was starting out and I didn't have as much perspective on it, and now I'd like to take a look at some of the older stuff." I had to go back and relook at a book the other week. I can't remember which one it was now, but I was like, oh, I actually like this book a lot more than I used to. I have a better understanding of how this whole thing came about, and you know where it sits in the timeline. So I might go back. I don't know. I don't know if I will run out. I mean, I guess at some point I'll lap you. But when
I'm sorry. I was going to say
when I first met you, when I came to your studio with Brad and Jeremy, we were talking, and you said, "Well, I'm not going to do this. I don't intend to do this forever. At some point, I'm going to retire." So Ben, back then, I was like biting my nails. I was like, "Oh, does he mean like in a year or two? Is this going to all come to a screeching halt?"
I am cutting back. I mean, the whole business, the anxiety, are the Berenstain Bears coming to an end because I'm not doing 9 books a year, I'm doing 5. That was part of, I don't want to do it at that intensity anyway.
Yeah.
So maybe it's more of a gradual, not retirement, but a gradual just slowing down.
Slowing down. You had said at the time, you were like, maybe I'll put out a few books, just a few books that I've always wanted to write. I'll put them out with boutique publishers. And those...
Actually, that sounds like a good idea.
And trust me, those words of yours, that still gets discussed among people. What are the boutique books that Mike Berenstain is going to?
I'm actually working on one of them.
All right.
It seems to be unpublishable, which I'm not surprised by. It's actually been making the circuits of publishers, but I didn't think anybody would want it. And that was true. I'm very puissant about what people want. But anyway, I figured, what the hell? It's actually a fantasy book. It's the story of Shakespeare's The Tempest as seen from the point of view of Caliban, the monster. Oh. It's called Caliban. And I did sample illustrations. I wrote it. I've done the whole full sketch version. And some publishers thought it was wonderful just artistically, but they wouldn't touch it commercially.
Right.
It's so bizarre.
It's niche.
It's very idiosyncratic.
Yes.
So I may actually just have it printed and give away some copies just as that's a vanity thing, vanity project, because I like it. And I want an excuse to actually do all the artwork. But also, you know, Mads Torres, my assistant, Madison, she's actually working on a website that will be the art of Michael Berenstain.
Oh.
And we'll be back and just so people can. I got an email from somebody who was obsessed with my old The Creature Cat, a fan.
Yeah.
And he was, apparently, this guy was really obsessed with it since childhood. And he wanted to know if there were posters of it that were available. And there aren't. I've never had any posters done. But this guy was such a fanatical fan. And he referenced sites that deal with people kind of cultic interest in these books that I did years ago. And I thought, well, I think I should, they're out of print. Right? And nobody's interested in reprinting. Although a Swiss publisher is interested in reprinting one of them in French.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to come of that. They've been kicking that around for a year now. I have no idea if that's actually going to happen. The sorcerer's scrapbook. No, it was the troll book.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
They like trolls in Europe. And
they do. They love trolls in Europe.
So anyway, so maybe that'll happen. And maybe there'll be a French version of the troll book. I don't know.
You'll be on the shelves next to Hergé. You'll
yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, that'd be wonderful because I'm a great fan of Tintin. In fact, a lot of the motivation for that blast off book was the Tintin Goes to the Moon.
You know, I didn't come out and say it, but the design of the ship, I was
that
like,
ship actually was picked up from Bears on the Moon.
I recognize the design of it, but there was the colors of it, the feel of it. I was like, that's very
Tintin.
Yeah. Yeah.
I actually first encountered Tintin as a kid when it was first published in US editions by Golden Books, which instantly went out of print. But my parents got me copies when I guess it was eight or nine. And I just thought they were fascinating. And then, of course, later I was able to get British copies and then finally
yeah.
a little brown here. But I just was obsessed with them as a kid.
You're the only person I've ever met who pronounces it correctly.
Well, I've picked up some French over the years here and there. And I'm now actually taking an online course in studying French, which I'm doing very badly at.
That's fantastic.
I'm not good at learning languages.
I
was a mediocre Latin and Spanish student in high school. Really, just barely got by. But I've always wanted to learn more French. And so, Tintin.
Wow. There you go. It's never too late to start doing, to keep improving yourself. Like,
it's a challenge at my age to try to learn language, but I'm doing it.
It was a challenge when I was in high school to try to learn languages. I took French, and as I said, I was always told people I was good at pronouncing it. And that's about it. My French teacher liked to keep me around just so I could demonstrate it, but I never knew really what I was saying.
Yeah, I was very challenged as a language student in school, and I'm hoping that won't continue.
Maybe you can do a set of French language educational books with the Bears.
Well, that would be nice. You know, the Bears were published in French in various editions years ago, but those are long out of print. You know, the language thing with the Berenstain Bears is very spotty. They're very popular in Asia, very extremely popular in Asia, in Chinese, in Korean, in Japanese. They've been published in Indonesia, I think. In Europe, they're most popular in Croatia.
Really?
They're very popular in Croatia. Go figure.
Is there a reason for that? Like, do you know, like...
No, there's a Croatian publisher. Originally, it was a Czechoslovakian publisher going way back who's been publishing lots of Berenstain Bear books for the last 60 years, and they continue to do so.
This is going to sound weird, but that explains a couple of statistics in my listenership.
No, I meant Yugoslavia, excuse me.
No, but there's Eastern European audience for this show, at least in the earlier years. Huh. But I was always like, where's this coming from?
Well, Croatia.
Maybe.
Very popular in Croatia. And they've been published in Bulgarian. And you know, it's strange where they get. They're published in Icelandic.
I had a friend in Iceland who took a picture of a spinner rack of Berenstain Bears books and sent it to me. And I was like, are you kidding? He's like, yeah, and I wish I'd bought a bunch. But
yeah, and they haven't been very popular in Western Europe in modern times. Yeah. I think when you look at what Western European, they're very old-fashioned looking for Western Europe. In design, children's design is very avant-garde, very modern, and the bears are very old-fashioned looking. So I think that they don't quite fit that mold.
Yeah. Now, the last time I interviewed you, you were talking with, or you were working with Disney Plus. Is any of that still going on?
Yes.
It's still ongoing? Okay. You don't have to say anything. I just wanted to know if that was still conversation.
I can tell you that we're going to know what's going to happen with Pat definitely within the next year, because the rights expire in about a year. So
okay, that's good. You had said that there was some fascinating, fantastic like character design work being done by their artists, and
their work it's being worked on.
Yeah,
but whether it will actually be so called green lighted for production, I don't know.
When you say though that you know. To have other artists not only draw the bears and illustrate with the bears, which, you know, other artists have done in the past with freelancers and such, but to have artists reinterpret these characters that have been around for 60 plus years, how does that feel as a creator to see other people sort of take these characters of your families and you reimagine them?
Well, it's actually for the context of doing something like this and taking it to a new medium in a new age of medium, it feels very good because I think it's absolutely necessary to update is the wrong word, but to reimagine the characters in a way that's going to work in a modern, you know, digital movie. To just try to do it. I mean, there's some overlap in the history of the development with the Peanuts movie with the people who were doing it because that was Fox. And this originally was a Fox enterprise before Fox was purchased by Disney.
Right.
And I loved that last Peanuts movie, but I thought it was much too conservative. It was much too attempting to simply do the old Peanuts characters in the way they'd always been done, just slightly digitizing them. I thought it was not inventive enough, imaginative. I loved it because I love the old Peanuts.
Yeah.
From the 60s and 70s. That's my Peanuts. But when watching it, I thought, this really appeals to me, but it's not. I don't think it's going to work for the current generation. You know, it's a little too old-fashioned. It's for me, but
yeah.
I'm not the audience for this.
Right. They're not trying to sell it to people in my generation. Like, that's not the point. I mean, I'm Gen X, and we'll buy anything, but... So obviously you're not quitting anytime soon.
No, like, no, I'm cutting back.
Cutting back
and also experimenting with doing other non-bear things.
Do you have like any idea where the line is going from here? Do you have like a 5-year plan or do you have anything you can tell?
I have no plan.
The readers like,
My plan is I don't want to do the same books over and over again just because the publishers say, well, that book about Easter sold, so let's do another Easter book. Or that book about going back to school sold, so let's just do the same book again, but just make it a tiny bit different. I'm not going to do it. I'm just done with that. That's why I'm doing weird things like The Reach for the Stars or did a book about St. Patrick's Day or... Or Blast Off. I mean, I'm trying to do things that just have not been, that haven't been done 5 times before.
Right.
With characters. So that's my only plan.
And you got to do something that makes you want to sit down at the drawing board.
Right. And also I find that what happens if you just try new things, it's some of them, the audience and people, they don't sell. People say, well, that didn't work. But once in a while, something that seems very improbable will just hit it. And people say, yeah, that's what I want. And you never know. like that book, Around the World.
Mm-hmm.
It is an I Can Read book about touring different.
Yeah.
Do that thinking this is going to be a hot. I feel, well, I'll try that. That book is immensely successful. Turns out people really want a Berenstain Bears book about going around the world.
And okay.
Yeah.
Fine. But you don't know that unless you try it.
Yeah. Well, if you ever want to do me a favor, write another book about guns, because I recently did No Guns Allowed, and I guess that's what people wanted to hear about, because...
Well, it's obviously a very vital subject.
Well, of course.
But that book was my dad wanted to do that.
No, yeah. I actually, that was one of the books that I had skipped because I was trying to get a certain guest on and I couldn't get a guest. And finally, I went back to it the other day. And that was a book that I was like far more impressed with than I thought I was going to be, just because I was like, well, you don't...
I worked on the illustrations. I did the sketches for the illustrations.
Yeah.
And it was a very interesting, very complicated book and very nuanced.
Mm-hmm. And I had to say that I still would just love to have all the illustrations from the chapter books, because some of my favorite Berenstain Bears stuff is...
It's not available.
I know, but I want it.
Well, a lot of it's available as ebooks.
Yes, yes.
Not all of it, but some of it, yeah.
When I say I want it, I mean like posters. Like... but so there's going to be a Mike Berenstain art website.
Yeah. And it's going to show samples of the old art I did, fantasy art, and some new fantasy art.
Yep. And so this is something that Mads is working on.
She's very good at that.
Good, good, good. Yeah. I was pleased to have conversations with her, and a very talented artist in her own right.
Yes, she is, extremely so.
Yes. So it's still just you at the board, you in your studio. You don't have
some of the books, a freelance artist works on with.
Okay.
Yeah. Like the board books, the Berenstain Baby Bears.
Okay.
Baby Berenstain Bears. That's the Berenstain Baby Bears is the old one.
Yes.
The Berenstain the new one. That I worked on with a freelancer who's worked for us for 30 years. A lot of the work I worked on with him. He goes way back with us. But that's it. All the HarperCollins books I'm doing myself right now, mm-hmm. although I may have run into a crunch on one of them. So I'm looking ahead at the schedule. There may be a time where there's two books that have to be done at once. So I won't be able to do that myself. But like the science fair one, like the big school project, I entirely did that myself. So
and when you do run into a crunch, when you are like, I'm going to get, you know, help on this, do you draft out the whole thing and then hand it off? How does that
sometimes work? Sometimes I do that. I mean, I write them and then I, you know, describe the illustrations. And then sometimes I'll do a school sketch version if I think it needs that. Other times I will work with a freelancer and they'll do a sketch version. And I'll say, you know, no, change this or do corrections on an overlay. And we'll work back and forth developing it just by sending scans back and forth.
Yeah.
It's a process. So I really more of like an art director, art manager in those projects. Yeah.
Okay. And that has to be a lot easier in the modern era than it was 20, 30 years ago to get those sketches back and forth.
In the 80s and 90s, we did a lot of, Western publishing, the Golden Books Cub Club. That was entirely done with freelance artists.
Yeah.
We did most of the sketches. So there were sketches, but yeah, everything was just mailed, FedEx back. It's very tedious.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, I don't have any other questions here in front of me. Is there anything you wanted to know from me?
I had a crazy thought for you.
Okay.
When you're done with, I shouldn't suggest this because it's really opening up down the rabbit hole. You know, there are a lot of Berenstain family books other than the Berenstain Bears. There's all my parents' cartoon books. There's all the cockamamie miscellaneous children's books I did in the 70s and 80s. There's like, probably like 100 different books of various kinds. They're very obscure. You really be going for a niche audience, but you could do that.
You've kind of read my mind a little bit because that is definitely a project that I have been kind of sketching out for the last while, like figuring out how to approach it. How do you approach an audio medium discussion of those very visual cartoons.
Well, we could put together scans of them for you.
Oh, well, that would be appreciated. Like,
you know about TaxWise, the first Berenstain book?
I don't think I've read it.
It was never put into distribution because the publisher printed it, but then they went out of business. So there are copies out there, but they're very rare. It was almost like a Saul Steinberg book that my parents did about satirizing the content of the federal tax forms with illustrations. So it's almost like a surreal book about taxes. It's called TaxWise. Very edgy book.
Well, that might be worth covering come April.
Yeah. And it's amazingly still relevant.
I bet.
About the horrible things happening. Anyway, it was their first book they ever published, and it never got distributed. So,
who published it?
An unknown publisher that nobody heard because they went out of business.
Wow!
But we have, we have a few copies. We could scan it for you. You could review it. And then, of course, there's all the early.
There's all the yeah.
Berenstain's baby book and
yeah, a lot of stuff with a very relationship oriented. I'll just say.
And then there are all the kind of the risque ones. Mm-hmm. That would be an eye opener for people. The Loverboy series.
The Loverboy series is a favorite among
the 50s, 60s sexist ribald books.
The more ribald books. I don't think Schultz ever put anything like that.
No.
He had a whole series about Bridge, which is.
I don't know about that.
He did a whole series of cartoons. He had a whole line of cartoons that were just about bridge playing bridge. And all the jokes were incomprehensible if you didn't understand the ins and outs of bridge. Like, they're very hyper-specific jokes. They're out there. They float around. I think they've put together collections of them. But
I read a whole Agatha Christie novel that's all about, the whole plot is about bridge. I didn't understand any of it, but I liked it. It's fun.
I just read a whole novella. The entire thing is about hearts. And I had to look up how to play hearts because I don't even know how to play that. Yeah. Hearts, I think they described it as like bridge for idiots. So
I've never even heard of hearts.
Hearts?
Like form of bridge? I didn't know.
No, I think it's a form of quist, I think is the
quist or whist.
Whist, I don't know. Whist, I
whist is the is as I understand it, whist is a precursor of bridge.
Of bridge. Right. I think that there's I think it branched out.
Oh, I performed another form.
I was confusing it with quisp.
I don't know about that either.
I think it was an old
story. Things I don't know.
Look, my brain never stops. Mike, thank you so much. I think we're done. I think we talked about, unless there's anything you absolutely have to say.
I've got into a lot of weird subjects, so I think
that is one day you and I are going to have to sit down in the same room and just talk for 2 hours because
that's good.
If I'm ever out east again, I'll look you up.
And if ever I'm in Minnesota, which is highly unlikely at this point, get together.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me again.
You're very welcome. It's been a pleasure.
And that was my conversation with Mike Berenstain. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you learned a thing or two. I know I did. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for being part of this crazy show. I'll be back next week with more books, more Berenstain Bears, and I'll see you all next time deep in bear country.